of thee, or that I feel as one who cannot die, but there is that in me which turns to thee, which loves, or which should love. Why have I girt myself with this hell dress? Why have I labored to put out my life? Is it not in my nature to adore? And e'en for all my reason, do I not feel him and thank him and pray to him now? Can I forgo the trust that he loves me? Do I not feel a love which only one, O thou pale form, so dimly seen, deep-eyed? I have denied thee calmly, do I not pant when I read of thy consummate deeds, and burn to see thy calm, pure truths out flash? Do I not shake to hear aught question thee? Am my aiming save me, madden me? Take from me powers and pleasures, let me die. Ages so I see thee, I am knit round, as with a charm by sin, lust, and pride. Yet though my wandering spirits have seen all shapes of strange delight, oft have I stood by thee, have I been keeping lonely watch with thee in the damp night by weeping olivet, or leaning on thy bosom proudly less, or dying with thee on the lonely cross, or witnessing thy bursting from the tomb. I suppose, and I don't know, Pauline may have questioned spirituality. Why do I have this life? Why am I in a chair? Who knows? Maybe she didn't. It didn't come off that way. It's like I'm just rolling through life, doing what I do. I don't know. Maybe people know what Pauline would say about spirituality. Meh. I'll figure it out myself, maybe. Anyways, that was from Pauline by Robert Browning. The music I played earlier was B3 King's You Better Watch Out. A bit of jazz, Seller. You know, jazz is the kind of music of the oppressed. It's one of the greatest things that America ever gave to the world. A gift out of struggle. A gift from people who were ignored, who were told you had no rights, just conform and just be in your place. I know Leo would say, screw it, I am me, let me free, let me be. All right, well, we're going to play another song. Here we go. Hold the horses there. It's a Christmas song. Come on. Yeah, man, this is Seller Live. It doesn't say Christmas on it. So that's what Pauline would say. Nah. Next. All right. So what do we do now? Well, let's find some more poetry. I'm going to look at one more poetry about Pauline. This is what she would do. She would just kind of move on and find something. Oh, here we go. A little called Pauline. This is just random. I have no idea what this means, but Pauline would be entertained by it. Just randomly searching Pauline poems on the internet. A little called anything shows shudders. Come and say what prints all day. A few watermelon. There is no pope. No cut in pennies and the little dressing and choose wide soles and little spats, really little spices. A little lace makes boils. This is not true. gracious of gracious and a stamp, a blue-green white bow, a blue-green lean on the top. It is absurd than it is leadish, and nearly set in where there is a tight head. A peaceful life to arise her noon, moon, and moon. A letter, a cold sleeve, a blanket, a shaving house, and nearly the best and regular window. Nearer and fairer you see, nearer and farther, show white has lime in sight, show a stitch of 10, count, more so that thicker and thicker is leaning. I hope she has her cow, bidding a wedding, widening, received, treading, little leading, mention nothing, cough, out in the leather and really feather it is, not four, please could, jam it, not plus more, sit in it when. What would Pauline say about that? Absurdity, I like that word. Maybe there are words in here. Bidding a wedding? Meh. Weddings. Wonder what she would think. You people that know her would know what she is about. So, yeah. What would Pauline say? Maybe that is the gift that she's given us, so that when we go through our life, it's like, what would Pauline say? I don't know. What would Pauline say? I don't know. She's kind of matter of fact. She's like, meh. That was my experience, at least. So I did visit her in the hospital one day. She'd always be checking in and out of hospital, just kind of like, you know, regular maintenance. And she wouldn't be able to make certain comedy things. And yeah, that was just kind of her life. So we talked about different things. We talked a bit about Filipino comedy. And after that, I really committed to it. So that's kind of my shtick, the Filipino-ness in me. White on the inside, brown on the outside, like a coconut chocolate mix. All right, well, what shall we do now? I've got a surprise, so hang on tight, because there is interesting things coming up.
Support Services of BC is a non-profit, volunteer-based society with locations across British Columbia. We are dedicated to our mandate of preventing child abuse and promoting healthy parent-child relationships.
What are parent support circles?
Parent support circles are a free, weekly, confidential, and supportive place where parents can talk about how they are feeling about their children. Support circles are conducted in a variety of languages across the Lower Mainland, including Mandarin, Cantonese, English, Filipino, and Spanish. Parent support circles for First Nations are also available.
Volunteers are needed to mind children, so the parents can attend circles. Volunteers are also needed to lead support circles across British Columbia. Free training is available. For more information on the services provided by the Parent Support Services of BC, or to volunteer, go to www.parentsupportbc.ca or call 1-800-655-6880.
Be the parent you want to be with the help of Parent Support Services of BC.
So Pauline was active with the West Coast Mental Health Network, kind of a community of people just looking out for each other, all different types, just living through life. So look them up. You know, it could happen. You could meet another Pauline and get inspired. And so look up the West Coast Mental Health Network. They're in Vancouver. They do amazing work. There is an artist workshop at Gallery Gachet where you can express yourself, and that is supported by the West Coast Mental Health Network. You can find that at Gallery Gachet on Monday afternoons. Look up Bernadine Fox, the artist who facilitates that. Bernadine Fox. Google her, the artist out of Vancouver. All right, we have a special guest on the line. Hello.
Hello.
We have Lori Rankin all the way from from a place far away, because I dialed the 250 number.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
So,
Explain your relationship with Pauline, Lori.
I'm Pauline's older sister, and she was my baby sister when she was younger. Pauline was born with a hole in her heart, and as a child she was quite, well, maybe not sickly, but my mom was told that she might not live past her third birthday, but my mom wouldn't accept that diagnosis, so she took Pauline home and took really good care of her, fed her lots of liver and things that she hoped would fortify her, and obviously they did, because she got many, many more years out of that heart than the original diagnosis was. And, Pauline was always very intelligent, even as a little girl, and she had many passions. She loved, she went through her nun phase where she thought she wanted to be a nun, and we used to joke and call her Nun Whatsoever.
That's funny.
Yeah, nice. And she also was totally obsessed with Madame Butterfly, and so she had a shrine in her room with all different Japanese things on it, and my mom bought her a kimono, and so she'd wear that around the house. And she was maybe 8 or 9, and probably know that she saw Madame Butterfly whenever it came to town when she was well enough. So, and her apartment was filled with posters, all different renditions of Madame Butterfly, and she had a big Japanese doll in a case. So, yeah, that was something that was really special to her.
I want to ask you, if she could pick an animal, I guess, would it be a butterfly? And why would she pick that?
Well, I think it would actually be a cat because, again, she always had a cat in her life. I'll tell you a story about one of her cats. Her name was Diamond, and Diamond, she called her Diamond because she had a little blaze on her forehead. And I can't remember how old she was when she had Diamond, but she was probably, 12 or 13. And Diamond, we lived on 2nd Avenue just off Nanaimo, and Diamond got, we don't know what happened to her, but she found her one morning, and she was dead by the road. And so Pauline was very, very, very unhappy, of course, but she took Diamond and buried her in the backyard. And many, many years later, when my mom and dad sold the house and moved out to Burnaby, the house was actually bought by a relative of ours, so my mom and dad had some connection with this woman. And at one point, she phoned my mom up and she said, "Did you ever have a black cat with a white blaze on its forehead?" And my mom said, "Yes, I did. That was Pauline's cat." And the relative that bought the house used to see this little cat sitting on the stairs, which is up where Pauline's bedroom was. So we thought that was very interesting. There was a big connection with Pauline and her cats. And at the time of her death, she had two cats, Buddy and Eclipse. And she had taken them for a woman because we all know Pauline had a huge capacity to help other people. She fostered the cats because the woman couldn't keep them, and the woman never came back for them. So Pauline did the cat whisperer thing, and she tamed down the one that was climbing up her walls and ripping her screens apart. But so one of her wishes she'd left a letter with me to say what to do in case anything happened to her, because she had surgery in 2010, and she knew there was a chance she might not come out of it. So one of her requests was that somebody give her cats a loving home. So my brother and his wife went the day after Pauline died, and they were able to get the first cat, Eclipse. He was the wild one, but Buddy was nowhere to be found. So my brother was just beside himself. He kept going back on his way back and forth to work into the apartment to see if he could find the other cat, but the cat wasn't showing up. So the day of Pauline's funeral, my brother and his wife went to the apartment, and before they went in, my brother George said, "Pauline, if you're happy with how the day went, could you please make sure Buddy's there?" And they went into the apartment, and the cat was there.
Wow, her spirit, eh? That's the truth, man. That's real. There's a lot of things that us humans don't even understand, even on the Earth. So when they're outside the Earth, we can't figure that out either, so just take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Pauline, I think, identified with all things cat, although she did love other animals, too. seagulls and owls and
sock monkeys. She likes sock monkeys. Her Facebook profile picture has CJ the sock monkey on it. That brought a tear to my eye. Celebration. And CJ is our radio mascot for this show, so CJ had to say something. And so he said, I think she's a she. We don't know. She said, why don't you talk about Pauline for the hour? So you have a poem you wanted to read?
Yes, I do. Pauline loved writing, and she, when we were planning her funeral, and she did request a Jewish funeral, and when we were working with the rabbis, they asked what to put down as Pauline's occupation. Well, as if you know Pauline, you know she had many, many careers. She was a dispatcher for Panago Pizza. She worked in mental health. She worked at the Kettle. She worked at group homes. She worked up north in a lodge. So my brother said, let's put down published poet, because that was something that of which she was very proud. So this is one of her, I don't know if it's one of her earlier publications, but it's from a book called East of Maine, and it's a compilation, an anthology of poems from East Vancouver. And Pauline's poem, Blackberries, was actually the first one in the section on the very, well, the first page after all the introductions and things like that. And Pauline lived her life, most of her life, in East Vancouver, and that she was living in an apartment on North Nanaimo at the time of her death. So this is Pauline's poem, Blackberries. All through the east side, the blackberries wind in a barbed tangle in unguarded spaces. Through backyards, empty lots, along fences, in the ravine, behind the wire, by the bridge, above the trains. I walk the wood sidewalks, worn boards, brown-gray, carved by the shuffle of countless feet. Mine, friends, my parents, their parents. The smell of warm dust, the buzzing wind trains pass, fruit trees wave overhead, the apples out of reach. At night, the coffee-scented air, the restaurants, the music, the traffic. I feel safe here in the wild east side. The newspapers, people from Kits, they tell me it's dangerous. The best Portuguese, Italian, lesbian, feminist, radical punk, working class, middle class, coffee drinking, pool playing, food shopping district. Here we cling, hang on, despite the condos, the malls, fast foods. Bulldozers, contractors hack their way, trying to smooth us into neat shops, blank concrete. We will remain blackberry vines with fruit and thorn. We will hang on. We won't be transplanted.
Wow, that's beautiful. The blackberries. Yeah.
Yes. And I think Pauline would have said that the East Van where we grew up is not quite the same anymore either, right? It's been the store where we used to go as kids, the Penny Candy store. When I was over the last time, there's a computer shop there. So some things have been changed, but the East Side is still, in my opinion, one of the most exciting places in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's beautiful, it's honest, it's raw, it's real, it's tragic. You know, it's not... Mr. Clean hasn't gone through it, you know? It's just, it is what it is, and it is full of life, and I love it. I love it too. And, I mean, there's all communities have their interesting qualities, but for sure, the East Side should be its place and have its personality, and people migrate there to kind of keep it that way. So I'm going to do an artist response to your poem that you read from Pauline. It's called A Cool Cat. And this is also on the internet. This is just kind of what the universe gives us, right? And it's by Jasmine Ira from September 23rd, 2008. And maybe this is a bit of Pauline. The cool cat is just standing there. The cool cat doesn't even glare. The cool cat thinks he's she. So hot. The cool cat doesn't give a snot. The cool cat doesn't listen in class. The cool cat thinks she's better than the rest. The cool cat has no friends. Not true for Pauline. The cool cat smokes after school. The cool cat left his family. The cool cat is a player. The cool cat has no prayers. The cool cat has no savers. The cool cat is one tough dude. But really, The cool cat is just one big fool. So what would Pauline say if she ran into the cool cat in the street in East Van? What do you think?
Well, probably the first thing she'd do would be to introduce the cool cat to her scooter. And I don't know if it was the one she had at the time of her death, but she had, her first scooter was called Alley Cat. And so she probably would introduce the cool cat to the Alley Cat, and then they might go prowling along the street and seeing what they could find, whether it was a great cafe where they could have a bite to eat, or they might go to a women's center event or something like that.
She would kind of figure out what makes the cool cat so cool, maybe, eh? She'd want to find out a little bit about what's going on with that cool cat. All right, I found another poem online here, and these are just random. These are just, as I said, what the universe gives. And it's Charles McPherson, Poem to Pauline. And so here's the background. Charles McPherson reads a beautiful poem he wrote for Pauline Jones, a surrogate mother who took him into her home and heart when he was just 14 years old. So let's see what Charles has to say.
We gotta have these people up here. And I've just been informed by Jenna. Jenna wanted to do a team to close out. But we'll let you discuss that. But come on up, Chuck, man. I just wanted to say thanks and we're getting close. I'll help clean up till we can hang out.
Where's the after party at?
Thank you. I want to say, I'll try to keep it brief, you know, it's a lost time to get out of here, but, man, this is like really special for me because I lost two mothers in 1 week. I lost my birth mother, and exactly 1 week later, lost Mama Jones. And I remember when I was around 15, I ran away from home. I'm on you, you know, but the thing is, man, I met Kev, and Kev's dad had just died. I remember his father briefly really suffering and everything, and we became like brothers, and, you know, I did what I could do, show him the snow, and I actually come from a broken family. And at the time, I didn't really have nobody, so Mama Jones, she took me in, and she treated me like a son, and I had a family, you know, and I want to say this, I never said this before, I love you guys, man, and everybody, Dalton and Juliana and Regina and Kevin, everybody, man, treated me like a son, you know, and so to make a long story short, I wrote you a lyrics. Just so we can hear it. And,
what you need, man?
Well, it's okay. I'll just do it a cappella.
All right.
Bear with me. I'll do the best I can do.
Here goes.
She's in heaven, angel lady. Mama Jones was so amazing. She took the time to share and give us love. She always cared. Now I have this special memory that she'd always tell me, keep your head up high, have faith in God. I miss my sweet mama smile. Boom, 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 boom. Mrs. Jones smile. Boom, 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 boom. Mom's favorite smile. Boom, 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 boom. Mrs. Jones smile. Boom, boom, boom. Second verse. I will love you, man, forever. You went through stormy weather. All the trials and tribulations. Life was not so kind. But I always will remember, like a burning ember. Keep your head up high, have faith in him. I feel my mom's spirit now. Boat, 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 a phone pole, a type of dark blue on bar, a bronze big round pole, a phone pole, yeah, a phone pole, this is just how pole, pole, the type of dark blue on bar. The last verse, if I hang on to these memories that we spent together, I can overcome the struggles that life will meet out. But I always will remember what my mama told me. Put your trust in him, have faith in him. I feel my mom's big pole, a pole, a pole, a pole, a pole, a pole, a
Oh, that's amazing. That's someone's dedication to another Pauline. What'd you think of that, Lori?
I think that Pauline would have approved. She would have been stamping her feet and clapping her hands.
Yeah, that's a cool cat. It's amazing how that poem and the cool cat come in together. That guy seems cool. All right, we're just going to take... Well, we're going to take some time here to promote the next show. Mr. Ryan Fletcher, poet... Melodies of Mind host, welcome. How are you?
Very good. We're going to have some more poetry on Melodies of Mind. We're going to be set to music. Probably has a lot of instrumental stuff as well. And I have a couple of the biggest and best acts in the world here. They're very humble about it, but they're here. And one of those is Lethan Milne. And maybe you can tell us a bit about your music, Lethan.
It's sort of a folky mix of instrumental and lyrical, and you're right, it really is the best in the world.
Yes, there we go.
And I am very humble as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. All right, and we also have Colin Easthope.
Mine is actually the best, so this is going to get awkward in this tight studio real quick.
Yes.
But mine is also folk, more country, country folk.
Right. And Evan Bork is here as well, but he's just out to get something to drink before the show.
All right.
And that'll be on Melodies of Mind. Yeah. Oh, and Evan says he's actually better than both of you guys. But that'll be between 8 and 10.
You see, you know, we're about love on this show because we have to create that environment for the conflict that happens in Melodies of Mind. But you know what? A little bit of conflict's pretty good for the world. It
I have three musical guests on each show, and two come out alive.
You know, this is very interesting. I don't know. You can stay tuned and listen, and then call into Crime Stoppers and find out what's going on. Thank you, Ryan Fletcher. Melody's mine in 2 minutes. All right. Hey, we're doing a show in here. You can go exchange phone numbers outside.
All right.
So... we're going to wrap it up for Sound Therapy Radio. We just want to pull in Lauren here. He's a trusty new cohort in the show. So what have you thought of the show, and any thoughts on death and life and Pauline?
I found the show very interesting today. It really interested me that you guys were talking about mental health, and that's such a huge issue for me in my life, or issue, cause. But it was very interesting, and it was wonderful how Pauline could... Well, she could joke about things like that, you know, things that are more serious to other people, and, you know, a lot of people... They don't take it as a joke. You need to laugh. You can't be, you know, upset and have negative energy all the time. You have to be quite positive. And I really, really thought that was wonderful with Pauline being as positive she could be with all of her difficulties in life.
Yeah, it's you get the essence for what she's about, and you just got to go slowly. And, I'd just like to thank Pauline for being just the person she is, and just living 50 bonus years and making it worth it. Take that, doctor! And you can thank her mom. So any last thoughts there, Lori, before we sign off on Sound Therapy Radio?
Well, I think you've done an excellent job of presenting